The text for today's message is from Mark chapter 6, and Pastor Warren Wiersbe speaks about Jesus the carpenter.
When our Lord was teaching here on earth, he talked about many different vocations. He said one day, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow," but Jesus was not a farmer when he was on earth. He said one day, "I am the good shepherd." He was speaking, of course, spiritually, how he cares for his sheep, those who trust him. But when he was here on earth, our Lord was not a shepherd. Do you know what he was? He was a carpenter. In Mark chapter 6, we read these words, "And he went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him." This is Nazareth, where our Lord had been brought up. "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From where hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?' And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, 'A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching.'" The Lord Jesus Christ was a carpenter. Now we ought to meditate on that and ask ourselves the question, why was it when Jesus came to earth, he chose that vocation? Now, he was a teacher, we know that. He was a healer, we know that. But he was a carpenter. And during the years that he was there in Nazareth, he worked at a bench. He was a carpenter. This, of course, gives me great encouragement, because most of us have to work. We know what it is to put in our time, regardless of what our calling may be, and Jesus was a laborer. He knew something about working. But why was our Lord a carpenter? Well, let me suggest several reasons. First of all, and perhaps this comes in as the most important, he was born in a carpenter's home. You see, Joseph, his earthly father, was a carpenter. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, they say, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" And so the Lord Jesus was born in a carpenter's home. This is not what the Jewish people expected at all. They thought that when their Messiah would come, he would come as a great king. He should have been born in a palace. No, he was born in a carpenter's home. He should have been born a great soldier, a conqueror, who would deliver them from Rome. No, he came as a laborer. He came as a servant. And of course, the Old Testament scriptures predicted that he would come as a servant. In Isaiah chapter 52 and chapter 53, we have a description of the suffering servant of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, we're told that Jesus Christ came as a servant. When our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, according to Hebrews chapter 10, he said this, "I come to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart." Jesus came as a humble servant. He came as a carpenter. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself with common people. We read in the scriptures that the common people heard him gladly because he knew what they were like. He knew what they needed. He knew the dignity of honest labor. He knew what it was like to work, to be tired. The Jewish people have a motto that says, if you do not teach your son how to work, you teach him how to be a thief. And so all of the Jewish people taught their sons how to work. Even the rabbis had their vocation. Paul, you will recall, was a tent maker. Jesus was born in a carpenter's home. That says to me that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he identified with all of us. There's a second reason why I think our Lord became a carpenter when he was here on earth. Not only was he born in a carpenter's home, but he came to do a carpenter's work. Now, what does a carpenter do? Well, he builds and he repairs. I must confess to you that I do not have that kind of skill. how I wish I could take tools and go around our house and fix things, but I simply don't have those skills. Other members of my family do, but I don't. The Lord Jesus Christ was skilled at building and repairing. He came to do a carpenter's work. I can just imagine people coming to the carpenter's shop there in Nazareth and bringing Jesus broken tables or broken chairs, giving him orders for manufacturing some piece of furniture, some piece of farm equipment, and our Lord Jesus would build and repair. Now that opens up for me a great vista of meditative truth. For example, before he came, he had built the universe. He knew something about building. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He built the universe. And today the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he said that, "I will build my church." Now the church is not some denomination or some man-made organization. The church is made up of all those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us that we are living stones in this temple that God is building. Jesus Christ built the universe, and he's building a church. And I wonder, my friend, are you a part of what he is building? You see, the Lord Jesus came to be a builder. Satan is the destroyer. Jesus said one day, "The thief," that's Satan, "cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now, sin is a great destroyer. And Satan tempts people into sin. Sin destroys homes. It destroys lives. It destroys bodies. And Jesus came as a carpenter. He came to do a carpenter's work. He's a builder and he is a repairer. He's building a church. I note in John chapter 14 that my Lord is building a home up in heaven. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." The wonderful thing about knowing Jesus as your Savior is this: you know where you're going. Now, you may not know how long it'll take to get there. We don't know if Jesus will return. We don't know if we may pass away in death, go to sleep in Jesus, and wake up in heaven. This the Lord has not told us, but he has assured us that he's building a home for us up in heaven. And that to me is a great encouragement. The carpenter who built the universe, the carpenter who is building his church, is building for his church a home in heaven. He came to do a carpenter's work. He is building people's lives. My friend, right now your life is either being built up by the Lord Jesus or being torn down by the devil. There just is no middle ground. We never stand still in life. We are either growing and being built up, or we are going backward and we're being torn down. I think the greatest destroyer in all the universe is sin. Sin has a way of destroying people's minds, their emotions, their wills. Sin has a way of destroying the human body. Jesus Christ came to build lives. The sad thing is we don't let him do it. I notice here in Mark chapter 6 in verse 2, they say, "Even such mighty works are wrought by his hands." Verse 5, "He could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." What was the reason he could not work? Verse 6 tells us, "He marveled because of their unbelief." My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to build your life. You say, "Oh, but I have a terrible, terrible temptation I have to overcome." He can strengthen you. "I have a habit I have to get rid of." He can enable you. Jesus Christ came to do a carpenter's work. There's a third reason why the Lord Jesus was a carpenter. He not only was born in a carpenter's home and came to do a carpenter's work, but he follows a carpenter's methods. You see, a carpenter looks at a piece of wood and he sees a potential in that wood. I might not see it, but he can see it. I wonder how many times our Lord Jesus went out and saw a tree and he said, "I can see in that tree a certain potential." You know, God looks at you, my friend, and he says, "I see potential in you." Oh, you may look at yourself in the mirror and say, "I can never become anything. I can never do anything." Yes, you can. Jesus looked at Peter one day and said, "I know who you are. You're Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter, a rock, And his friends must have laughed at Peter because they knew there wasn't much in Peter that was like a rock. But Jesus saw the potential in Peter. He saw the potential in Saul of Tarsus. He saw the potential in John Mark. He sees the potential in you. The Lord follows a carpenter's method. He sees the potential that's in the material. He has a plan. He sees the goal. God knows what He wants you to do. God knows what He wants you to become. You don't have to drift through life wondering what to do next. Just turn yourself over to the carpenter, and He has a plan for you. And He's so patient. He takes such great pains in what He does. I don't know if I'd have the patience that He has. He knows just what tools to use. He knows when I have to be planed, and He knows when I have to be sandpapered, when I have to be polished. He knows exactly when to use the Word of God, when to use other Christians to polish my life. It's wonderful. The Lord Jesus follows a carpenter's methods. And you know, He always finishes what He starts. He never leaves a job half done. But our responsibility is just to surrender into His hands. Jesus was a carpenter because He was born in a carpenter's home. He came to do a carpenter's work, building and repairing. He follows a carpenter's methods. And finally, He died a carpenter's death. Now, He wasn't stoned to death. He was nailed to a tree. I wonder how many times our Lord Jesus had carried trees back to the carpenter's shop and trimmed them and planed them and made from them some useful implement. Well, one day they took the Lord Jesus and they took hammers and nails, the very tools that He had used in the carpenter's shop, and they nailed Him to a tree. Peter wrote and said, "Who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree." But I want you to know it wasn't nails that held Him to that cross. It was His love. He died a carpenter's death, nailed to a tree. And you know why He died that death? He died that death that you and I might be saved. Whenever you think of Jesus Christ the carpenter, just remember the price that He paid to make something out of our lives. First of all, to save us from sin. Just as a carpenter has to cleanse that piece of wood, he has to cut away all that's excess, all that's ugly. So Jesus Christ, in dying for us, cleansed us from our sins. He saved us. And then He takes our lives and He begins to work in our lives to make us what we ought to be. It's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus Christ died for us. Now may I ask you a question? Who is making your life? Is Satan ruining your life? You say, "Well, I'm a self-made man." Oh, my friend, you can't be a self-made man, self-made woman. Because of ourselves and in ourselves, we just can't make it. But when you put your life into the hands of the Lord Jesus, the wonderful carpenter, He will save you and He will make something out of you. Yes, He is the carpenter. He was born in a carpenter's home. He identifies with us. He came to do a carpenter's work, to build your life and to repair your life. He follows a carpenter's methods, patiently fulfilling the plan that He has for you. And in order to make all of this possible, He died a carpenter's death. He died for you, that you might live through Him. I recommend Him to you. You cannot make your own life. You cannot build your own home. You cannot make it without the Lord Jesus. And perhaps just now you'd like to bow to Him and just say, "Lord Jesus, You are my Savior. Right now I trust You. I accept You. Take my life and make out of my life that which is well-pleasing in Your sight. Be my Savior and do it for Your glory."